today as we come to the table.
You know, it's like my granddaughter, she holds something up to me, you know, and I'll put my mouth to the side of hers and she'll eat it and be happy that we're eating together, you know, but I know that I didn't eat it. It's like they don't get it somehow. They're somehow still doing these rituals. And it's like, guys, can't you see? Nobody took that food. It doesn't work. And God says, this is what they do. They pretend they're gods. They pretend they're going to, you know, do this thing. They set them up. They can't help them. They cry out to them. They can't answer them in their trouble. And anything they do, they're not going to hear from them. He says, remember this and show yourselves men. Recall to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. Here he goes again.
There's no God like the God of the Bible. He's omniscient, omnipotent, and knows everything about you. He's the source of everything and can do anything. That's the God you serve. That's the God who won't let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. He's all-powerful and still intimately involved in your life. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. The world's gods and myths can sound interesting, but they aren't God. They can't do what He can do. Today, Pastor Mark will make sure you have no doubt that God is powerful and actively works in the lives of modern believers. There's nothing you need to fear with Him on your side. No one is greater than God. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Isaiah, chapter 45, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
This whole thing, and I keep coming back to it because it's like, I watched this whole agenda with this whole World Economic Forum, you know, and one of their goals is to reduce the Earth's population in one of their writings down to 1 billion, and another area it says 500 million. You know how many people are on the Earth right now? Almost 8 billion. How do you get rid of 7 billion people? What do you mean? What do you mean you want to get rid of 7 billion people as quickly as possible? They're saying this out in the open, guys. This is not some conspiracy. Read your newspapers. Go look up World Economic Forum. Read their agenda. Read what they say they're going to do. They themselves say in their videos, I've seen them, we need to get the Earth down to about 1 billion people if we're going to be able to survive. Well, nobody, I mean, yes, you in the back. What are you going to do with the other 7 billion? Who's asking that question? How are we going to disappear? What is their plan? Is this long term? Is this short term? Should we kind of get our eyes a little bit wider and say, we need to kind of talk about this? Or do we just ignore it and kind of, you know, there's a new movie out. Good ice cream at that new place right over there off of Chapman. Guys, we need to be awake. We need to be awake. We need to be those who understand the times. Now, I'm not saying this to make anybody afraid. They're not going to kill 7 billion people. I know that. Because during the Great Tribulation, God's going to kill 2 billion and there'll still be a lot of people left. It's just what it says. Because these are those that have rejected God and He's judging them. 2 billion people will be killed in almost basically one or two judgments. It's a lot of people in a short amount of time, especially when you're talking over about a 3.5 year period, okay? So I don't know what's going on, but why do they want to kill 7 billion people? Because they say this, there's too many people on the earth needs to go back to its natural state or whatever, and the most radical of them actually say no people should be here. They just write it down. They say it out in the open. Nobody's hiding this. They say the best and most ideal, not all of them, but some of the more radicals say in this movement, it would be better if all people were killed off and the earth could just thrive on its own without people ruining it. I mean, what's a leaf going to do? Nice breeze today, huh? It's ridiculous. Why did God say He created the earth? To be inhabited, be fruitful and multiply. Now, there are different seasons. I mean, it's a little scary in today's world to be fruitful and multiply as much. I'm not going to tell you not to do it, but I'm saying you look at what's happening to the world today and you start going, oh my goodness, you know, there's so many things. That's, you kind of think about things and when you see what's happening, but God says, I created the earth to be inhabited. I'm the Lord, and there's no other. I've not spoken in secret. in a dark place of the earth. Again, it reminds me of Jesus saying, I didn't say any of this in a corner. I said it openly. You know, somebody was saying recently, but are you worried, you know, any about, you know, they're tracking all the phones now and they hear what you're saying and everybody's going to know where you are. And now they've got your DNA and your face ID. There's no escape. You can't get off the grid. I don't want off. I'm here to be open. I'm here to be public. I'm here to be a witness to the world. I'm not going to run from anything or anybody. And if it ends up being something, you know, a thing we don't want to happen to us, well, so be it. Jesus did a lot worse than what we're going to go through. But we're not here to try to run and hide. We're here to say, listen, Jesus loves you. He died for you, and he's going to come back and judge. Everybody needs to repent. That's what we're here to do. So don't ever get in this thing of, oh, no, what am I going to do with my face ID? You know, this whole thing now, and this, you know, the DNA records, and now that they just, you know, came out and the government said all the nose swabs, they sold all that to China, the DNA. Like, why would you do that? Why would you sell America's nose swabs and their DNA to China? I'm probably scaring you guys to death. I need to stop telling you this stuff. I look at it all the time, and I just trust God or whatever this thing, but I think if I say too much of this, everybody's going to be collapsed by the time we're done. You know, let me say this. After making that statement, I probably shouldn't have. Let me back up and say this. God is on the throne. He is on the throne. And you know what? If they want my DNA, praise the Lord. You can have it. You know, I'll spit on you. No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't really. That's not appropriate from up here. But they can have my DNA. What are they going to do? They might kill you. I win. Straight into the kingdom. Snoopy dance. We don't have to be afraid. That's what is so great to know God. The worst thing they can do to us will be the best day of our eternity. Think about that. The worst thing the world can do to us will be the best day of our eternity. What if I have a heart attack? Well, I'm in the kingdom. That hurts for a second. Ah, then whoa, ho, ho, ho. You know what I mean? Don't be afraid. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Praise the Lord. Isn't that great? I love it. He formed the earth to be inhabited. I am the Lord. There is no other. I have not spoken in secret in dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, you who have escaped from the nations. They have no knowledge. You carry wood of their carved image and pray to the God that cannot save. Tell and bring your case. Okay, so look at this. Look, you think you have some way you can get to heaven apart from me? Then make your case. Come on, bring your God, bring your back. Let's hear what you got. Look at this. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? Now listen, I'm the only one that knows the future, and I told it. There's no other God besides me. A just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Again, you think he's trying to make a point? There's none besides him. Look at this. Look to me and be saved. He's making an appeal now to the unbeliever. You want to have heaven? You're worshiping these idols? Throw them away. Look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. By the way, this is the verse that God used to bring Charles Spurgeon into the kingdom. Those of you that know who Charles Spurgeon was, this great evangelist of the 1700s, or the 1800s rather. And this was the verse. He was on a very snowy night out walking, a young teen kid, I think 14 years old at the time, and just, you know, saw a church and went into it and sat down, and the pastor didn't show up that night. Something happened, he couldn't get there. I think it was the storm, he never made it. So one of the elders or deacons got up and just began to try to read scripture, and he read Isaiah and said, look to me, you saved all the ends of the earth. And he said, I did, and God saved me. So the same thing is true for us. Look to the Lord if you don't know him. He will save you. For I am God, and there is no other. I've sworn by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. This should ring a bell, that to me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall take an oath. Guys, who's talking here? Well, we know it's Jesus, right? Because the Bible says to Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, right? But here he's saying, I'm God Almighty. I'm the creator of all things. Jesus is God Almighty, the creator of all things. He shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. To him men shall come, and all shall be ashamed. Isn't that something? Those that have rejected God are going to be ashamed on that day. We're going to be rejoicing. They're going to be ashamed. Those who are incensed against God. You know, if those that are angry and hate God, they're going to be ashamed. In the Lord all the descendants of Israel shall be justified and shall glory. Chapter 46, he goes on now. He says, Bel bows down. That's another god. Nebo stoops. These are gods. Their idols were on beasts and on cattle. And you had to carry, your carriages were heavily loaded. That is, they have to carry their idols around by carriages and by trailers and all things. They're not even real. A burden to the weary beast. They stoop. They bow down together. The animals are weighted down by these false gods, he's saying. You could not deliver the burden, but have themselves gone into captivity. Look, they themselves are a burden. They can't deliver your burdens. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth. who have been carried from the womb. Notice this. He says, I knew you as a baby. I've carried you since you were a little baby. I've carried you all the way from the womb. And I love this verse. Even to your old age, I am he. And even to gray hairs, I will carry you. The more of my hairs get gray, the happier this verse makes me. Pastor Mike and I were talking about it today, and he was saying, this is one of my favorite verses, one of my favorite verses. And you know, maybe I didn't tell him it's one of mine too, actually, in this whole idea, because, and maybe we're right around the same age. Maybe that's why it's one of our favorite verses. But it's nice to know that God's not going to abandon us when we get old and weak. Isn't that nice to know? You think, Lord, I'm going to get weak, and what's going to happen? I'm not going to have strength and all whatever. He says, look, I was faithful since you were a little tiny baby all the way up to now. You think I'm just going to forget you now? Oh, look, Mark, he's weak now. He's on his own. Good luck, buddy. Right? No, God says, I'll take care of you. I will take care of you. Guys, take heart. Take heart. Everybody in this room, especially those of us that are, why do they call them the golden years? They're not golden at all. There's nothing golden about what's happening to my body. But we're heading into the older years, right? The older years we're heading into. Again, I've told you guys before, we have this book at home. It used to be, I don't need to get it back out on our table. I don't know why. I got to pull that book back out. It says the joys of growing older. And it shows this older couple kind of walking on the beach or something. And you open it up and it's totally blank. But here's the good news. We get a new one. We get a brand new one. Man, this doesn't work anymore. Well, you're going to get one that's going to work forever. And it's going to be awesome. I mean, so don't worry, you know, again, I know, look, it may not be fun now when things start breaking. And, you know, every one of us have something here that's breaking if you're of any age. And it just is. It's okay. You're going to get a new one, you know, and it's going to be wonderful. And God's going to restore everything. And so that's where we have to have our eyes. This is simply, we're on a mission. We're servants of the Lord. We're here to lead as many people as we can into the kingdom. And that's our goal. But God's going to be faithful to you all the way to the end. He's going to be faithful. I will carry you. I'm not going to abandon you when you get old. I've made and I will bear. I love it. I made you, I'll bear you. It's my responsibility. I did. That's why I talk about the environment. It's God's responsibility. It's not my responsibility to make sure that our water's clean or that the air's clean or that whatever. That's not my responsibility. I need to be a good steward, but it's not my responsibility. I'd be like the baby in the house or the kids in the house going, you know what? You know, we have, you know, the house payment next month and I'm not sure how I'm going to get it. Like, you're three. Relax. You don't have to worry about the house payment. I'm the dad. I'll take care of that, right? And so he's saying, I'm the one. Trust me. Look to me. I'm the one. I've made you. I will bear you. I will carry you. I will deliver you. To whom will you liken me and make me equal? And compare me that we should be alike. They lavish gold out of the bag and they weigh silver on the scales. And then they hire a goldsmith. He makes it a god. They prostrate themselves. Yes, they worship. They bear it on their shoulder. They carry it. You know, when your God's carrying, you know, when you're carrying your God, there's a problem. Your God should be carrying you. And they set it in place and it stands. From its place, it won't move. Secure it good enough. Though one cries out to it, yet it cannot answer, nor save him out of his trouble. You know, I went to Vietnam on a mission trip a couple years ago. Now it's probably been five. Time goes by so quick. Two or three years back, I went to Vietnam and had this chance to go over there and share with the underground church over there. It was a great trip, great experience. And I went to this main area there where they had this in the main town square or whatever. And they had these altars set up and they had these like food, things of food laying around it and these burning incense things going up, whatever. And I asked somebody, you know, what it was. And I never found out because I can't speak their language. No, I'm just kidding. I asked someone who did speak English, what is that? And they said that they're sacrificing to their ancestors. They worship their ancestors. And they put the incense up there. They put food out like they're going to eat it. I would think you'd come back and go, still there. I mean, after you do that so many times, you just pretend to eat it. You know, it's like my granddaughter. She holds something up to me, you know, and I'll put my mouth to the side of hers. And she'll eat it and be happy that we're eating together, you know. But I know that I didn't eat it. It's like they don't get it somehow. They're somehow still doing these rituals. And it's like, guys, can't you see? Nobody took that food. It doesn't work. And God says, this is what they do. They pretend they're gods. They pretend they're going to, you know, do this thing. They set them up. They can't help them. They cry out to them. They can't answer them in their trouble. And anything they do, they're not going to hear from them. He says, remember this and show yourselves men. Recall to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is no other. Here he goes again. I am God and there's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. So it's God's word that's going to stand. I don't care what the world's doing right now, and they think they're going to do whatever they say they're planning on doing. God's counsel is going to stand. It's going to be his counsel, guaranteed. And I will do all my pleasure, God says. They're not going to do what they want. I'll do what I want. Calling a bird of prey from the east. Again, this is speaking of Cyrus because his symbol was this bird of war. I believe it was a phoenix or whatever. And so he said, I'm doing my pleasure. I called a bird of prey from the east. I called Cyrus, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I've spoken it. I also will bring it to pass. I've purposed it. I also will do it. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted who are far from righteousness. I will bring my righteousness near, and it shall be not be far off. My salvation shall not linger, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel my glory. Now he speaks of the judgment of Babylon. And if we don't get all the way through this, that's fine. But I want to start here in Babylon. This is where God now says, Babylon's going to be judged by Cyrus. He's the one judging them. But now he speaks now of the judgment of Babylon. And this judgment here is very reminiscent to the judgment of Babylon in Revelation 18. So there's a dual prophecy going on here because this is exactly what happened in Babylon that day, but it's going to happen again in one day. He says, come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground without a throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you shall no more be called tender and delicate. In other words, you've been leading the world. You've been world ruler. You've been all these things you wanted, your delicacies. You thought you were it, nobody else. You're coming down. You're coming down because he tells why. He says, take the millstones and grind the meal, remove your veil, take off the skirt and cover the thigh, pass through the rivers, taken captive, if you will. Your nakedness shall be uncovered. God's going to expose your nakedness and also literally as slaves. Yes, your shame will be seen. I will take vengeance and I will not arbitrate with a man. Again, God's going to judge them because of how they dealt with the children of Israel. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name. That means the Lord of battle. Remember that. Lord of hosts is always a reference to the Lord of battle. He says, as for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit in silence and go into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you shall no longer be called the Lady of Kingdoms. I was angry with my people, that is when you took them captive. I've profaned my inheritance, I judged them, in other words, and given them into your hand. You showed them no mercy. On the elderly, you laid your yoke very heavily. He said, even the old you abused. And so God says, I had to deal with you. And you said, I shall be a lady forever, so that you did not take these things to heart nor remember the latter end of them. No, you're not going to be protected forever. Therefore, hear this now. You are given to pleasures. This shows you how they were living, that always seeking pleasures in Babylon, that all the things they needed, the riches and all that went with it, who dwell securely, who say in your heart, I am, and there's no one else besides me. Well, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? I'll do what I want. We're a great America. We're the mighty America. You know, we'll do what we want or whatever. You get the idea. It's kind of the same thing, but we're forgetting, what are we doing? And God's going to one day have to judge if we keep doing things we shouldn't be doing. He says, I shall not sit as a widow, nor shall I have loss of children. Yeah, you will. Yeah, you will. When God judges you, anyone will that God judges. But these two things shall come upon you in a moment, in one day. Okay, that's what happened. Remember that one night. Cyrus came in, conquered the kingdom in one night. Now we're going to see in Babylon 18 or Revelation 18. If y'all read that later, you can if you want. He says the same thing. Babylon the Great, which we're not sure yet what that really is. We know there's a world system and a world economic and all that, but it can be debatable. No time to even get into that subject. But God says he's going to destroy whoever he considers Babylon. They're going to be destroyed in one day. And the world's going to see them go up in flames. Some people think that's America. I don't know. I've never really thought that before. Could be. Some people think it's different things. But either way, they're going to be saying, you're the one that made everybody so rich, and now you're destroyed in one day. You know, this kind of thing. The loss of children you'll have and widowhood, they shall come upon you in your fullness because, here's why, because of the multitude of your sorceries. Now, again, there's two meanings to sorcery here. There's actual witchcraft or things in that nature or whatever, spiritism. But it also speaks of in the New Testament, it says that when it refers to sorceries, it refers also to drugs. The word in the New Testament, pharmakia. Which is where we get pharmacy. He says, because of the multitude of your, you could almost say witchcraft and drugs or spiritism and drugs, for the great abundance of your enchantments, for you have trusted in your wickedness. You know, we can be wicked and we're going to be okay. No, you won't. You have said, no one sees me. There's no God to call me to account. That's the attitude today. If you notice, guys, people, we've lost a fear of God. Not the believers and not everybody in America, okay? But there's a large portion of America that has no fear of God. How do you just mock God just with a big smile on your face? And just, you know, on TV or talk about it on talk shows. How do you do that? You don't realize one day you're going to stand before him and he's going to judge you because he made you? They have no fear. They don't understand this. They don't realize what they're doing. That's why the Lord said from the cross, Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. You think about it. They don't realize that the Lord, any moment, he could have just fried everybody there. And all you got to do is just, poof, you're done. Come down from the cross, heal his own wounds and say, we're not doing this. I'm taking over right now. And those that are in, everybody else, nope. But he said, no, I'm going through this because I want Calvary Chapel, Knoxville, and everybody else in Knoxville around the world, all the way up until I come back, I want them in the kingdom. So I'm going to do this, and I'm going to restrain myself and not judge them. But they say, nobody sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge have warped you. Again, you look at today we're warped in our mindset, just warped. It's amazing. I mean, the things that we're doing, look at our culture today. Tell me we're not warped. Guys, we're warped in every area. I mean, just across the board. You know, it's just like some of the things I hear anymore, nothing shocks me. Sometimes somebody will send me something. Have you seen this, Pastor Mark? I'm like, it's like, I should be shocked, but I'm like, I don't know that I am. It's just gotten so crazy. It's so ridiculous. And you said in your heart, I am, and there's no one else besides me. Therefore, evil shall come upon you. You shall not know from where it arises, and trouble shall fall upon you. You will not be able to put it off. Desolation will come upon you suddenly, at which you shall not know. Stand now with your enchantments and the multitude of your sorceries in which you have labored from your youth. You know, you've worked hard to sin. Perhaps you'll be able to profit. Perhaps you'll prevail. He's kind of mocking them. He knows they won't. You're wearied in the multitude of your counsels. Let the astrologers and the stargazers and the monthly prognosticators, the Long Island mediums, right? Let them tell you what's going to happen. Stand up. Let them stand up and save you from what shall come upon you. You know, if they can't, behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. It shall not be a coal to be warmed by, nor a fire to sit by. Thus shall they be to you with whom you have labored, your merchants from your youth. They shall wander each one to his quarter, and no one will save you. We're not going to go any farther. But again, what a powerful portion of Scripture. Great stuff. Great stuff. You know, again, I just want to encourage us before we finish. A lot of, you read the word and you see these kind of things and you look at what's happening, what happened to Babylon, you look at what happened in God's judgment in other places, you look at what's happening in America and you start thinking, you know, at some point, God's got to do something with us unless we repent. And then your pastor shares things he probably shouldn't have from the pulpit and makes you even more afraid. And so you think, well, I got built up. Thank you, Mark. That was, you know. But let me leave us. Again, I've already said it. I'm going to say it again. Drive it home. I don't care what they have or don't have. I don't care who thinks they're doing whatever they think they're doing. God's watching every single bit of it. He knows every plan they're making. He knows every detail. The Bible says in Psalm 2, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. You think you're going to do that? Oh, my goodness. You guys think you're so smart. It's amazing how prideful a fallen brain can become, because that's what we all have, fallen brains. And these guys who think they're the elite and they're the smartest and they've got all the answers. I go back to that verse. I love that verse where the Lord said, you know what? It was the common people that gathered to the Lord. You know, God just, he resists those that have this elitism type attitude. He resists them in their pride, but he accepts those of us who just come to him and say, you know what? We're just your kids and we love you and we believe you and we know you're in control and we're going to trust you. And that's our God. We believe him. We know he's in control and we're going to trust him. So trust in the Lord and rest in him. He's the one that will keep you safe. And when it's time to go home, he'll take you. And you're not going anywhere till he says. And you know what? Even when it becomes our time to go, God's going to be gracious to us. And a lot of us, I think, in this room are not even going to have to die. I think it's going to be just kind of a poof and we're up and there we are. And it's a done deal. But again, the Lord's in control of all that as well.
Thank you for joining us today for another broadcast of Come to the Table. Pastor Mark Kirk is coming to you from Calvary, Knoxville, in Knoxville, Tennessee. As Pastor Mark proceeds in his series on the book of Isaiah, we eventually see that Isaiah's words of warning go unheeded. Despite his best efforts, the people of Israel and Judah continue to rebel against God, and they open up attacks from the enemies in Assyria and Babylon. If this were any other nation, this would likely have been the end of their story. But not for Israel. See, as God's chosen people, the Lord supernaturally protected the Israelites, even in their rebellion and exile. We are given hope, even in moments of despair, because we know that the Lord will eventually make a way for all to come home. While we may have sinned in the past, the Lord gives us a clean slate and allows us the opportunity to make the right choices in the future. We're never going to be able to serve him perfectly, but we can strive to serve him as best we can every single day. If you'd like to learn more about what it means to serve God, you can visit our website at thewaymedia.net. While you're there, click on the Come to the Table link and then click on Questions and Comments so that you can get connected with us. You can also find more studies from Pastor Mark on various books of the Bible to help guide you in your own studies through God's Word. Well, we're just about out of time for today's program. Pastor Mark is going to continue his series on the book of Isaiah next time. So we hope you'll join us once again as we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.